On the phone here is Mr. John Cowan. How you doing, John?
I am good, Steve. How are you?
I'm so happy to talk to you. I thought, just so the people out there know, at the end of talking to Tom Adams, which I thoroughly enjoyed talking to Tom, I had a call and I missed it, and I recognized it as a number that I'd used for John the other day, and I thought, oh man, I messed up the time. You were just kind of getting me locked in so you could catch me at 4 o'clock. So I thought, shoot, I've missed John Cowan. And I called back and heard the cow mooing for a while. I thought, oh geez, I've blown it.
No. You didn't miss me. I'm actually totally prepared today, and I didn't forget. So how about that?
All right. I'm good. I'm glad. I've been playing some of your music as we go, John. And I don't think I've ever done a show since I've been doing this, which is not like a real long time, but I always play Call in Baton Rouge. There's certain things of yours that I just have to get into. I have a 3-hour program, and every time I'll get something in, I don't always go back to Newgrass, but often I do. And I'm going to end today, by the way, with a special little thing that nobody knows about yet. You will, because you recorded it. But this is Unreal Bluegrass, so I cover the waterfront, man. I go from Bill Monroe to beyond. So we're going to end the show out at 5 with a special thing that people that know me, they'll stick around and listen to it. But gosh, I'm so happy to talk to you. Here I am talking. I don't want to be talking. I want John Cowan to talk, and I want you tell people what you've been up to and what you're doing and how you're feeling and what's going on.
Oh, well, I've just been busier than a one-legged sailor in a butt-kicking contest, as they say. I stay real busy now. About almost 3 years ago, I rejoined the Doobie Brothers, and that's my real job, for lack of a better term, and they keep me just busier than heck, but I still managed to carve out time to go around and play with either my trio with Chad Cobb and Jeff Autry, and sometimes we're joined by a drummer, but mostly it's trio shows. I'm just doing all sorts of stuff. I have a radio show myself, and yeah, that's pretty busy, even though it's just 1 hour a month.
Yeah, but what is it? It's on WSM, isn't it?
It is. It's All I Believe in My Soul, and yeah. It's just been it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and I think we have almost 11 shows under our belt. And as a matter of fact, Monday I'm going to be going and editing and mixing the interview I did with Chris Christopherson, and that was that was a wonderful day in my life.
Wow, that's a special thing. I'm going to have to make sure I find that somewhere. Do you archive those things? People always ask me if I archive them.
Yeah, all the shows are on my website, www.johncowan.com.
Oh, great.
And we've just had the best guests. We've, you know, it's been wonderful. My first guest was Leon Russell, my former boss and still my friend. And Bela Fleck we've had Bela Fleck. We've had Gordon Stoker, the leader of the Jordanaires. And, it's just been all sorts of great stuff. We've had Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues, and Jim Messina from Logan and Messina, and I'm sure I'm going to forget some people, but it's something that I'm very passionate about and I love, and I've been real blessed and grateful to be able to do that. So I'm a real busy guy, and I also have a little rock power trio that I've been making. I guess you call them records. We don't call them records anymore. And so that's a lot of fun, too. That's with one of the drummers from the Doobie Brothers and the guitarist from the band Chicago. So I get, my life is full.
So, well, now let's back up a second on this rock power trio. You're actually recording things, right? And you're releasing them, or you're going to release something?
Yeah, we're releasing them on the internet for free. So it's like, we're giving the music away. And, it's just a wonderful thing, and the response, we just put it up 2 days ago, and we've already had 900 downloads, so
By the end of this show, you'll have some more, because I'll go get some. Did we just go to the John Cowan, just like a website, and find it on there?
If you go to Facebook, you can go to Secret Agent Orange is the Facebook page, and the download is available there for free. You just click on it, and it takes you to SoundCloud. SoundCloud, and you can download the track. It's really cool.
Oh, neat. Now, a lot of the people listening in, and this is the Worldwide Bluegrass Network, and so they, of course, they know of all of your work, I'm certain, from the Newgrass Revival days, and you've done so much this since then with your own band. And I knew you had just finished a tour with the Doobie Brothers, but I bet you a lot of people out there listening don't get that connection at all. When you said Doobie Brothers, I bet they were probably scratching their head.
Well, that's just something that happened for me very organically. I had a country rock band. I was part of a country rock band in the early 90s, and we made a record for Warner Brothers, and it was called the Sky Kings, and that band was made up of myself on bass and vocals, Rusty Young, the founder of Poco, on steel guitar and vocals, Patrick Simmons from the Doobie Brothers on guitar and vocals, and Bill Lloyd on guitar and vocals from Foster and Lloyd. And it was through that band that I started playing in the Doobie Brothers, because they kind of restarted their career then, and they didn't have a bassist, and Pat asked me if I wanted to go out, and I said, well, of course, you know. So that's how that all came to be. And then I left the Doobies in 94, and was gone for a little over 16 years, and their bassist that took my place in the band had some really serious health problems, and they asked me to come back, so here I am.
Hmm. So how many years total have you played with the Doobie Brothers?
It's going on, I'm going on my sixth year, my second tour of duty, as I like to say.
Huh? And so you're obviously playing bass, and then you're singing with them also, of course.
Yes, I am.
Hmm.
And, you know, anybody that knows anything about me, you know, I did not grow up in bluegrass. I have a love and deep respect and feel sort of all sorts of reverence for being shown what real roots music is about. And so I grew up as a rock and roll kid. So, you know, long before I joined the Bluegrass Revival in 1974, I was in bands playing with Doobie Brothers music in bars and stuff. So it's kind of serendipitous for me, but it, you know, it's not that big a surprise if you know anything about me. So,
well,
I knew
that, and I also knew, and of course, well, before we were going on the air, you and I were talking about some weird jazz stuff.
Yeah.
Did you grow up playing jazz also, or you just listened to it?
I did not grow up playing it. Now, I was really exposed to the vocal side of contemporary jazz through my father. My father was a church singer only, but also he participated in barbershop quartet. But, I mean, I grew up, before I was 10 or 11 years old, you know, my ears were filled with everybody from Rosemary Clooney to Frank Sinatra to Mel Torme to Nat King Cole to Ella Fitzgerald. These are the people that my father loved, and those are the first voices that I heard that I was really taken with. And then, of course, when the Beatles hit in 1964, 63, then that turned my head completely 160 degrees, and so there you have it.
Hmm. You know, you mentioned Mel Torme, and I think so many people kind of picked up on him later in his career, but you talk about a smooth, strong, never wavering. When he hit a note, he held it as long as he wanted to. And boy, he was not the guy that you saw in Johnny Carson late at night. Mel Torme was an absolutely phenomenal jazz singer. I mean, just so smooth.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the original guy, you know, in my opinion, would have to be Bing Crosby, because even by the time that Frank Sinatra came along, he really wanted to be Bing Crosby. That was his goal, and of course, he ended up carving out his own niche in the world. But I have to tell you now, I was driving up here to Indiana last night listening to Eddie Stubbs on 650 WAM, or at WSMAM, and man, he was just, he plays the greatest stuff, and he played a unreleased track of Bill Monroe singing, I guess it's a Jimmy Rogers tune, but maybe Bill made it up himself or borrowed it from Jimmy, but it was a unreleased track of Blue Yodel Number 4, and it was just, and Bill Monroe just did these amazing high falsetto things at the end of the song, and it, you know, for me, there's no real difference in my heart as a listener or inside of me from Bobby Osborne to Van Morrison or Frank Sinatra. I mean, great singing is great singing. I love it all. I just do.
Well, you can hear that in what you play, and people that have seen John perform in any of these different entities that he's out with, or whether it's his own band or under a different band, it's pretty clear that you've got a lot of influence pouring through you as you're singing. Your vocals go from just basic to what you want to start out, and then you pretty much take it wherever you. An audience is coming to see John Cowan, better be ready to hear and should be expecting to hear some fabulous vocals that are going to go way beyond what they're thinking Newgrass Revival. That's just my opinion. I've seen you, I don't know, a dozen, 15 times or so.
Well, I just have always, you know, I was fortunate that I grew up, and when we're young musicians, we're not artists yet, but when we're learning how to play and sing our instruments, you're kind of like a sponge, and you just kind of imitate what's out there, culturally speaking. And, I had some great role models, and that has continued in my life. You know, I think pedigree is everything in a musician. And when I was expunged as a musician, the world was just breaking, the music world was breaking open, and you could hear on AM radio, you could hear, it would go from Buck Owens to Aretha Franklin to Ray Charles to Charlie Rich, and it was just an amazing time
Don't you miss that availability over the air? Don't you miss that? Because I'm the same. I think I'm about the same age you are, John. But yeah, you grew up.
I did turn 59. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. And so yeah, you grew up in the 60s, and you had all this great music on AM radio, and you could find whatever you wanted. And now you turn on the radio, and I'm not running down AM radio because they're still good, but it's mostly now people yelling at each other.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate, and talk radio is permeated the airwaves, but I mean, that says something about our society. But you know, I have to admit, I listen to sports talk. So
yeah, well, that's fine.
What I mean, the heck, you know.
No, and I will tell you this, and I live in Northern Kentucky, and I grew up here, and there used to be a great jazz station, two of them actually. One was a college connected with a fellow named Oscar Treadwell, who was absolutely the walking encyclopedia of jazz. And then there was a daytime station that existed here. Well, I found it in high school. I was looking for music other than just basic rock and roll. I progressed to that point through blues. And I tell you, the Allman Brothers Band were a spring for me to get into blues. And then jazz, I think, kind of follows from that if you follow it out. But they're all gone. All of the jazz radio stations are gone. The bluegrass stations, unless you can find them, some special outlet like maybe the internet or maybe XM, you used to be able, on the left side of the dial, you could find bluegrass music. It's just vanishing. And I just think, daggone, I used to love, spinning around the dial and finding the kind of music you're talking about. Just about everything would pop up and you could get exposed to it all anymore. You just can't.
Well, if you're a serious music listener, which I am, you just can't be lazy. Now, there's two things that have happened. If you seek out, there's still great music on terrestrial radio. You just have to find it. There's a gentleman by the name of Bob Parlocha, and he's like Eddie Stubbs. He's a musician that hosts a radio show and just plays nothing but unbelievable jazz, and he's on for, God, 6 to 7 hours a night. You just have to find him. His show is syndicated on FM. They carry it in Nashville on the radio station that comes out of Middle Tennessee State University. And same thing with, you can catch Eddie Stubbs. And the other thing is now, like yourself or Gracie or a lot of the people on Worldwide like Bluegrass, you just have to seek it out. It's not as readily available. But if you're interested enough in music, because of the internet, there's actually more choices than there ever was before.
Well, you're right. You just can't drive around in your old car and spin up around the dial. You got to find, you're right. You got to work a little harder.
Yeah, but what's nice is a lot of the internet stations now have apps. So, if you have an iPhone, you can listen to it on your phone. There's an equal amount of good and bad about living in the information age as we are now.
Yeah, and you're right. And you mentioned that the iPhone, the smartphone applications, if listeners actually go to Worldwide Bluegrass, they can kick over to Loud City and they can pick us up. And I know that's people call in all the time. They're listening from their smartphone, which is kind of cool.
And if people, a lot of times we use, with my little studio that I carry around, we rent cars, and we always love it when we get a rental car that has Sirius XM radio in it because there's a bluegrass channel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out there, man. It really is. And, you know, the Bluegrass Channel on there is great. It's plays, you know, I hear new stuff all the time.
Well, and that's the key, that it's always new. And what we do a lot, there's different people who have different programs on this Worldwide Bluegrass Network, and they pretty much, Gracie and everybody, just kind of, here, do what you want to do till people don't want to hear anymore. And we kind of spread everything around, and I will play Newgrass Revival, and I'll play Bill Monroe, and I'll play Joy Kill Sorrow, and I'll, you know, then I'll go back and play Stanley Brothers. To me, it's all great stuff if it's done well, and that's what we try to do here, and that's why you wind up being played over these airways so much in different bands and groups that you've performed in. Because, man, it's just good stuff that you're doing.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. I mean, you know, that's been my only goal since I was 14 to just be a good artist.
And you are, I saw, I guess, in the paper last week, you're coming up. I'm in Northern Kentucky, and you are. Who's in the band that you're? Is Jeff with the band now?
Yes, Mr. Jeff Autry. We've been playing music together almost 15 years.
Yeah.
And he's an amazing flat picker and a great singer.
He really is. He's more than amazing flat picker. How he hides, you know, and not being picked out as one of the greatest flat pickers in the world. I mean, in my mind, he is. I've seen him with you over those 15 years, and there's nothing in the world that Jeff Autry, he'll do bluegrass. He's comfortable in jazz chords and blues, and boy, he just plays such a great guitar player.
Yeah, I mean, playing with Jeff is, he's a little bit like me now, you know. He grew up playing hardcore bluegrass, and then when he was a teenager, he got exposed to Tony Rice and Bluegrass Revival, and then he went deeper and deeper, and, you know, started listening to Wes Montgomery and Django Reinhardt. So, you know, he's taught me so much about playing swing music, and same with Shad Cobb, because, you know, Shad and Jeff and I kind of share this love of many music styles, and then we kind of bring it all into what we do ourselves, and so we all have a affinity for having lots of colors on our palette.
Well, and you mix them around really well. You mix them around really well. I hope everybody can have the opportunity to see John perform with this band live. Let me ask you this, I've seen you do this a couple times, and I think if the venue allows it, I think this is something that you will normally do. You step away from the microphones, depending on where you are, and you sing without amplification. Is that something I've only seen you do because of a local place that I see up in Hamilton, Ohio, or do you do that wherever you can physically do it?
I do. Usually, what we'll do sometimes, we may do that with the gospel number, or we may, a lot of times I like to step away from the mics and just have Shad and Jeff come up in the audience, and I'll sing A Good Woman's Love, which is a song that I did forever in Newgrass Revival. But it's a Bill Monroe tune that he made famous, and it's a wonderful song in Waltz time, and it has a great simple lyric to it and a beautiful melody. And so yeah, we'll do that. We don't do it every night. It kind of depends on the occasion, to be perfectly honest.
Well, it is. It's an amazing thing to see. I've seen you do it a couple times up at, you make a regular visit up to Miami University in Hamilton, Ohio with Howard, and that crowd up there. That's such a great venue anyway. I know that Howard always brings in the best people, and you're maybe every other year you show up there, and I've seen you step off of the stage down into what would be an orchestra pit and, pull that off. And man, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, you carry that whole place with no amplification.
Well, you know, all I can say about that is that is how most of us learn our music. I mean, for years, whether I was part of Newgrass Revival or even my own little quartet or quintet or trio, you know, when we sit down and practice it, acoustic instruments and a little tiny bass amp and no microphones, we just sit around in a circle and that's how we learn music. That's how we learn new songs and rep, you know. Anyways, but that's the beauty of, you know, goodness gracious, that's the beauty of bluegrass music. You get banjo and a fiddle and acoustic guitar and an upright bass and a dobro, and you're good to go.
Wow.
And a mandolin, and there you go.
And sometimes John Cowan flips back to roundabout from that, from Yes. When you're feeling froggy, you're out there playing bass on, and with Yes.
I'm musically schizophrenic. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, I keep mentioning that you're coming up here, but then I get sidetracked because we talked about Jeff Autry, and I'm a huge fan of Jeff, but I want you to tell everybody listening where you're going to be and when. And then I appreciate you so much for calling in. We're going to play some of your music. I don't want to keep you all day because I know you got a million things going on. But let's tell the listeners out there where the John Cowan Band's going to be next Thursday.
We're going to be at the Southgate House Revival in Newport, Kentucky, this coming Friday.
Is it
How
Friday?
About that?
It's the 7th.
Friday or Thursday?
I think it's the 7th, which by my calendar is a Thursday, but we'll double
check. Well, there you have it, see?
You know.
So anyways, we will be there, and we just hope to see everybody and come out with a smile, and we'll leave you with a laugh, hopefully.
Oh, man. You know, it's such a good time, and it's funny you talk about coming out with a smile. I saw Larry Sparks last night. He was in the area, and, man, I just had this big grin on my face the whole time he was up there, and I got out into the single-digit wind chill, and I think I got that grin froze on my face for a good while, but... But he's a guy that just gets up there and performs. So everybody's going to come out of John Cowan, absolutely, with that big Larry Sparks concert grin on your face. I'm certain of it.
Larry he's just the man. I mean, I've loved him for 35 years, and his singing is just non-parallel. He just slays me. I have for my Christmas show this year on WFM, I play one of his tunes, and anybody that knows anything about bluegrass or wonderful singing, that's one of the people you think of right off the bat. He's just amazing.
He's so smooth and effortless and so consistent, and it's just, boy, he just pulls you in with the lyrics. There's a great, he has a great new album anyway, but he's got this tune on there called Gunfighter's Revenge, which is going to be a classic if it isn't already. But, man, he sings and it just pulls, you can feel yourself leaving your seat, pulling toward the stage, and that's, I'm not exaggerating.
Oh, I know. I mean, he's just so full of soul. It's unbelievable.
And then he gets into that B.B. King guitar thing a little bit. He likes to play blues a little bit. I was kidding him about that. He was on the show last week, and he started talking about B.B. King, which I thought, that's pretty cool because, Larry's not a blizzard of notes, but he gets the ones that he wants and plays the heck out of them with that same emotion that, B.B. King does.
I tell you what, here's what, and that makes me think of something in particular, which is, artists, if you listen to artists and you keep up with artists or read interviews or stuff, artists are very seldomly prejudiced about music. I mean, any information you ever read about Ray Charles, he goes on about Roy Acuff and how much he loved Roy Acuff, and that's how he was raised on the Grand Ole Opry. And so I'm never surprised. It does not surprise me one bit that Larry Clark loves TV. It's just, artists are very seldom prejudiced about music.
Well, John, man, I appreciate you so much calling in on short notice. I just thought, heck, I can get him in here and chat with him for a bit. And we finished up with Tom Adams right as you were about ready to call in. I've had a nice couple of days here, and I hope the listeners out there have enjoyed John Cowan coming in and talking about what he's doing musically and where he's been. And where he's going is just on and on, man. You're not stopping. You're just going on and on, upward and upward.
Yeah, I'm still chasing it, and I hope I always will. It's funny because I've been spent the last 2 days listening to this, the last couple records Kris Kristofferson made, and he's 76, and to me, he's just made two of the best records of his life.
Really?
I mean, just stunning. And when you talk about singers and songwriters and people that can naturally put together words that are beautiful and simple, but at the same time haunting and mesmerizing. I mean, he's 76, and he's still chasing it, and that's hopefully what we all do.
Well, there's a little bit of a twinge when you say that Chris is 76 years old.
I'm sorry?
Just a little bit of a twinge when we all have to sit back and think of Kris Kristofferson from our youth being 76 years old.
Oh, you know what? I don't care. I'm happy to be 59. I have no regrets of that. First of all, what can you do about it?
Nothing.
I'm feeling lucky that the calendar went another year.
John, listen, I'm going to let you go. Thanks so much for calling in. I know the people have enjoyed it. And gosh darn, good luck to you in the future, and I'll catch up to you somewhere down the road. And anytime you want to drop by, please do. Gracie Muldoon said, make sure you say, tell John hello. So I'm telling you hello from Gracie.
Well, we already dropped her name, so she knows she's in our heart.
She knows that, and she is. I love Gracie to death. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go. I'll play some of your music when you get out of here.
Man, thank you for your time, Steve, and thank you for playing great music.
Thanks, John. I'll talk to you, man.
All right, brother.
Bye. There we go. There's Mr. John Cowan. I was a little panicked. I thought maybe we'd got confused on the timing, because he called right as Tom Adams was finishing up. And I thought, oh, man, I messed up the time. That's embarrassing. But he was checking out to make sure he had the right number to call me. So there's John Cowan calling in to Worldwide Bluegrass. You heard it from the man. It's all about the music. It's all about continuing to improve and find and seek out great sounds and incorporate them. And you're not going to find any greater sound than John Cowan playing bass and singing.